But first, the state's dental treatment scheme for 1.5 million people is on the brink of collapse, so the Irish Dental Association told the Oireachtas Health Committee yesterday. I'm joined now by Fintan Horan, who's chief executive with that Irish Dental Association, and he was involved in the appearance yesterday at the committee. Fintan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.
Now, maybe we start by trying to explain how the scheme is supposed to work, who qualifies, and for what do they qualify?
Yeah, so the scheme has been in place since 1994. So anyone who holds a standard medical card is eligible for extremely limited dental care. So they are entitled to an annual examination. They're entitled to up to 2 fillings, extractions, and a small number of other treatments, all of which are free to the patient. The dentist is paid a fee set by the state. And until recently, there were large numbers. So, as you said, about 1.5 million people are entitled to care. In a normal year, 1 in 3 patients would have availed of the scheme and seen their dentist. But last year, not surprisingly, it was down to barely 1 in 5. So fewer patients are attending the dentist. But it also reflects the fact that there's been a large exodus of dentists from the scheme. So it's harder to find a dentist for patients.
How does it work? I mean, do you, if you qualify for any of these services, and we'll talk about how limited they are in a moment, do you kind of ring around all the dentists in your locality to find out, are they a member of the scheme, or is there a website whereby you can find out? And of course, if you're not digitally attached, you may not be able to do that anyway. But how do you find the dentist who'll treat you?
Yeah, well, I suppose unlike, say, with your medical doctor, where you're associated with one particular doctor, with the dental scheme, you're entitled to see any dentist who's participating in the scheme. So the HSE has a list of the participating dentists, but usually people will inquire with their local dentist, are you in the scheme? Do you see medical card patients? And if not, they will look around. But the HSE has responsibility for operating the scheme. Dentists are contracted to provide the care. So from a patient's point of view, they'd usually check with their local dentist, are you in the scheme, or is another dentist in the practice within the scheme? Or, you know, sometimes they'll contact the HSE. It's becoming more of an issue now because more dentists are leaving the scheme and it's harder to find a dentist who will see medical card patients.
Now, talk to me about PRSI. Do we have any entitlement under PRSI if we're not the holder of a medical card?
Yes, the PRSI scheme, there's probably about 2 million people entitled to dental benefit, including self-employed people since 2017, if they have the requisite number of stamps, to use the old language. And what it entitles you to is one examination with the dentist per annum, and also a scale and polish or a protracted gum treatment if people have serious periodontal difficulties. They're free. The dentist can charge an extra €15 on top of what the state pays for the scale and polish, but otherwise it's free. So it's an extremely limited scheme, and it's actually more people are entitled to avail of it. So both schemes were severely curtailed back in 2009, and those limited restrictions in terms of what people can receive for free have remained in place ever since.
Okay, so if I'm paying PRSI and I'm also in possession of a medical card, then I would be entitled to still, I suppose, only one exam per annum, but I would be entitled to a scale and polish under the PRSI scheme that I wouldn't be entitled to under the medical card scheme. Is that it?
That's correct. That is correct, yeah.
Okay, but I could amalgamate my two entitlements and get, if you like, one of each. What happens if I have more serious dental problems, if I need root canal, for instance?
Well, as a medical card patient, if you have certain underlying conditions, and they're usually serious medical conditions, then you will see your dentist, and if he or she prescribes root canal treatment, a request is made, so approval has to be given by the HSE for root canal treatment or indeed dentures. It's not an automatic right or entitlement, so that's what happens if a patient presents and requires root canal treatment.
how long does it take to get approval from the HSE? Because someone who needs root canal, there's probably pain involved here, and that's why ultimately the dentist diagnoses root canal is necessary. I mean, is it a matter of hours, days, weeks or months?
Well, it would certainly be days or weeks. I mean, a dentist will obviously attend to any pain that a patient feels. But in terms of getting approval for a root canal treatment, they're obliged to submit some documentation to the HSE in support of the case on behalf of the patient. And that can be a number of weeks before a decision is made.
Now, going back to the medical card scheme, you're entitled to two fillings per annum, but an unlimited number of extractions. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's one of the that is correct, and that's one of the most difficult things about the way in which changes were made unilaterally in 2009. This scheme started as an entirely preventative scheme, and you know, so obviously a dentist's inclination would be to look at fillings or root canal treatment. An extraction is very much the last resort, and that has never sat comfortably with dentists, and clearly patients aren't happy with it either. And you know, for
let's get the scenario. You've got someone who's got a tooth that's giving them trouble. It could be saved with a filling, and under the medical card scheme, if you've had your two fillings, the dentist will say, well, this is going to cost you whatever the rate is for a filling, or we can take it out for nothing. Isn't that the reality?
Yes, that is the reality, unfortunately. Yes.
So someone might end up having three or four teeth extracted, which might have been saved, because simply they don't have the resources to pay the private fee for the dental work that would be required to save the tooth.
Yes, that is unfortunately the reality. As I said, it's something dentists are very uncomfortable about, but patients equally and more importantly are unhappy about. It cuts across the essential ethos of the scheme, which was essentially a preventative care scheme, and through pretty blunt cuts made in 2009, it has changed entirely, and it's no longer a preventative scheme. It's an emergency pain relief scheme, and you know, the consequences are that rather than preventing problems or treating problems short of extraction, it's changed fundamentally. It's no longer a scheme that's fit for purpose, to be quite honest.
Now, dentists leaving the scheme in large numbers, why? Is it about what they're paid by the state to do these procedures?
Well, I suppose based on what I would hear from dentists, and large numbers, well over, close on 300 actually, dentists left the scheme from probably, you know, 1,400 or 1,500 at the start of 2020. A large number of the dentists said that, you know, the additional operating costs that they incurred during COVID, because they did keep their practices open, and particularly the failure by the Department of Health to honour a promise they made to supply them with PPE within 7 days last June was the final straw, because they said, look, this has been a scheme where it's been imperfect, but we were happy to continue with it in the hope and expectation that the department would finally sit down and come up with a better scheme. But when they saw there was no sign of that, when they saw that they were incurring significant extra cost to enhance their infection prevention and control in the dental surgery during COVID, when an explicit promise to provide PPE was not delivered upon, a lot of them took that as being, you know, the final insult, and decided that they couldn't continue with the scheme. And it's not something that any of them willingly left the scheme, but you know, that's really an individual decision at the end of the day.
Now, the state pays per procedure, I presume, is that right? Per filling, per extraction, per...
Yes, there's a set scale of fees that the state decides, yeah.
How does that compare to what a dentist would charge privately? Now, I know different dentists charge different things, I suppose, depending on overheads. If you're in a place where rent is cheap, it might be less expensive to have a filling or an extraction. But how does what the state pays typically compare with what a dentist would charge privately for the same work?
Well, we would estimate that the state fees are 40 to 60% lower than dentists are charging privately, and that's easily verified because they display their fees and most of them have websites, so it's very easy to see what fees they charge private patients. And, you know, we have explained
this. So what does the state pay for a filling? Because then people will know what they're charged locally by their own dentist and can do the sums. What does the state pay for a filling?
Just under €50.
And what does it pay for an extraction?
€34.
Okay. And for a scale and polish under the PRSI scheme?
That's free. So it's free to the patient subject to a potential surcharge of €15. But what they pay to the dentist is €42.
€42. Okay, so people can make the comparison themselves. So if dentists can, you know, not justify carrying on in this kind of scheme because the money's simply not worth their time, that's why they've walked away? Or is it alternatively that they don't feel they're providing the service that is advertised because they can't?
Well, I think they were always unhappy because it would be their inclination, but it was also a specific obligation that they would treat medical card patients the same way as they would treat private patients. That was always an expectation that was there. You know, the scheme is severely limited, is out of date in lots of ways, but it's severely limited in terms of the treatments that it can offer. Certainly, the fees are well below what are required to cover costs for many dentists. And really, you know, the significant extra costs that they incurred over the past year, combination of all those reasons are you know, behind why so many have left. Because, you know, people will come and go within the scheme, but there's never been such a rapid rate of exodus from the scheme. And that's, you know, a vote of no confidence in the scheme by dentists. And they're very reluctant because dentists do want to see all members of the community. And we have put forward alternative proposals to allow greater dental access, particularly because the clear consequence of all of this is that there's a growing divide between those who can afford and those who cannot afford to go and see their dentist.
Now, just to get the whole thing in global perspective, how much has the funding of the scheme changed over the years? I mean, costs generally, not so much in recent years, dramatically increased, but they've crept up all the time. They tend not to go down. How much has the budget for the whole scheme increased or decreased over the years?
Well, there was an immediate reduction when the decision was made to limit the scope of treatments covered by the scheme. But even in more recent years, we've seen the scheme usually spend over 60 million a year. Last year it was barely 40 million a year. So in the last 12 months, between 2019 and 2020, we saw a huge drop.
Yeah. Was that on account of usage, though, Fintan, because people were not going to the dentist because of the pandemic and therefore the funds weren't drawn down? Or was the budget curbed by the HSE?
No, there's no set budget. So it does reflect, because it operates on a fee per item basis, the budget reflects the number of people who present for treatment, the number of treatments provided. So, yes, it reflects the fact that less treatments were provided. Partially, that reflects the limitations in terms of visiting the dentist. But dentists have been open all the way through, that they've never been closed. There was a short period in which they were only providing emergency care. But, you know, it reflects two things. One, there are fewer dentists in the scheme, so there are fewer dentists to pay. There are fewer patients going to see the remaining numbers of dentists. But, you know, the participation overall, whereas one in three medical card patients were seeing the dentist in a normal year, last year was down to one in five. So,
And there were concerns at the beginning, you know, when you've got fillings and water spraying around the place, people were concerned that COVID prevention measures might not be effective. I think they've had probably reassurance on that. Some of the comments coming in, not all PRSI bands are allowed to claim dental benefits, says Brian in Dublin. Is that so?
Well, it does require that you have, you know, 5-year stamps, and there are certain cohorts of public servants who are denied access. That's true.
Okay. People should be entitled to more free dental work regardless of whether they have medical cards or not. We're very behind in this country in that respect. Question, I have a medical card. I've got a partial top denture. It needs replacing. Will I need to pay anything towards that?
Well, it's, you know, there are limits, first of all, in terms of the treatments that can be provided in any 1 year. I mean, the best advice would be for the patient to go and see their dentist because there may be other options available. But equally, the dentist won't know, you know, what is still covered by the scheme because the treatments are limited on an annual basis. So the best advice would be to discuss it with your dentist.
Okay. Does the dentist not realise how expensive dental services are in Ireland? I'm working all my life and I've always found it impossible to afford things such as root canal, which usually tops €1,000. I've no pity for them. They need to lower their prices, says Billy in Tralee. And I mean, people did even vote with their feet going to Northern Ireland and to elsewhere in Europe for, you know, extravagant dental work, shall we say, implants and all that kind of thing. Can you explain why dental services here should be more expensive than Northern Ireland, though?
Well, I don't necessarily accept because I certainly was speaking to dentists on the southern side of the border and they were saying that remarkably, because of the restrictions on access to dentists in Northern Ireland, that there were actually large numbers of patients coming south. So, you know, that can happen from time to time. The operating or the fees charged by dentists reflect their operating costs. But in relation to the medical card scheme, the fees are set by the state. And ultimately, dentists have to set fees that cover their costs. They don't receive subsidies, pensions, grants or allowances the way medical doctors do.
Are you suggesting that the private patient is subsidising the public patient?
Well, I suppose that's a characterization that can be put on it. I mean, dentists who participate in the medical card scheme would say that if they were entirely reliant on the medical card scheme, that it wouldn't be economically viable. So there is an element of that, but at the end of the day, a dentist runs a business. He or she has to ensure that whatever income comes in from whatever source covers the cost that they incur in running the practice.
Okay. Just to clarify, root canal is not available on back teeth for medical card patients ever. Approval must be sought for root canal on the front 6 teeth only. Also, white fillings are not allowed on back teeth, even though they're often the more appropriate treatment. That's from Longford Dental. I have a friend who's a dentist. If he has to perform an extraction, which would normally cost from €80 upwards to private patients, he said the money paid from the government on this scheme barely pays for the anaesthetic, never mind all the other costs that go along with running a business. That's from Stephen in Glasnevin. Someone else told me they had a tooth extracted last week for €275. So where is that being charged? Maybe you'd let us know. Very difficult for those of us without medical cards to afford root canal and crowns. It can cost up to €2,500. So the decision to extract the tooth is often our only option. That's from Yvonne. Never mind medical card participants. Just wondering why I had to pay €5 extra at the dentist for PPE. Do you know anything about that, Fintan?
No, I mean, obviously dentists are set their own fees, so I'm not aware of
arrangements. So they could just have put it on their list of charges, which they do. I think they're obliged to put up in their surgeries. They could just have added the €5 on and changed a filling from whatever, 80 to 85 and said nothing. But this dentist is saying it's 80, say, plus 5 for PPE. And the theory would be that once the pandemic is over, you wouldn't charge the €5.
Yeah, well, I can't comment, you know, hypothetically, but I mean, at the end of the day, they are private businesses and they have to cover their costs. That wouldn't be a normal practice in my experience.
I've been a dentist on these schemes for over 25 years, says Marie from Cork. They're not fit for purpose. The message from the Department of Health has always been oral care in this country is not important. So I breathed a sigh of relief when I left the schemes. Another News Talk listener, Laura, $190 for two fillings last week. That's a big chunk of money out of someone's pocket. It's become unaffordable to get dental treatment. Mags in Dublin says my daughter cracked a back tooth recently. She needed a cap. It cost €1,000. The dental costs in the Republic are outrageous. Another one, dentists struggling with costs, pharmacists closing down, landlords leaving in droves. I think not. Because these are all the claims that are made regularly on radio, that dentists can't manage, that pharmacists have to close down, they've no business, that landlords don't want to take rents anymore, they want to sell up. Another one, my mum at age 91 badly needs new dentures, got the list of dentists from the HSE, not one on the list will actually take medical card holders. What is she to do? That's from a Clare listener. What is she to do? 91, probably not able to travel to Donegal from Clare for a treatment. So what is she to do?
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. The HSE has an obligation to arrange dental care for all eligible patients. Now, I know for a fact there's been large numbers of dentists in Clare have left the scheme. And you know, what we're hearing there reflects the fact that very often the published lists are out of date and dentists are no longer in the scheme. Okay. So, you know, I think the HSE should arrange for her to be seen by a dentist or indeed by the HSE itself.
By the way, Fintan, you said you didn't know anything about the €5 for PPE. Lots of our listeners here on News Talk are saying the same thing. They're being charged €5. So I don't suspect it's a cartel, but it seems to be an agreed price among many dentists to charge €5 for PPE. Although another one says €6 for PPE.
Well, Pat, can I just say in relation to the PPE, if the Minister for Health had honoured his commitment to provide PPE to dentists last June, none of this would arise in the first place at all. Obviously, dentists have to cover their costs, and certainly the costs involved in securing extra PPE are far greater than €5.
Yeah. Finally, Fintan, the system, the scheme, is on the brink of collapse, say you. Would money bring the missing dentists back?
I believe a fundamentally new approach is required. I don't think this is about money. I think dentists, as you have heard from a number who contacted you, are unhappy with the entire structure and operation of the scheme. We believe an entirely new approach is required. We put forward a number of suggestions to the Oireachtas Committee yesterday. We suggested, for example, that the Med2 tax relief could be extended to routine treatments. We suggested that vouchers could be used. We've suggested that the co-payment model, which works with the PRSI scheme, could be looked at. But we don't believe that it's a question of simply trying to revive an ailing scheme in the short term, because as sure as anything, we'll be back in 6 months' time saying we still have a far bigger problem. And I think a lot of the dentists who've left the scheme will not return if it's simply a question of tweaking the existing scheme. An entirely new approach is required. And that's what we said to the Oireachtas yesterday.
Fintan Hurran, Chief Executive of the Irish Dental Association, thank you very much for joining us. Now, coming up later on News Talk,